happy Sunday, or whatever day it is that you're watching this. I just want to say it's great to see you here today. My name is Clay Munkus, and I get the honor and the privilege of being the lead pastor here at Next Level Church. And I want to say welcome to everybody who's watching us today, whether you're here in Charlotte or somewhere else around the country or riding around in your car. We're glad you're with us. And let me just say, if you're the kind of person who likes to take notes, today's sermon notes can be found by going to nextlevelchurch.org/events. And then if you click on the sermon note, this button that's there, you'll be able to follow all along. You'll get everything that we're going to talk about today. And if you've been watching for a while, one simple way that you can help us accomplish our mission to raise the reputation of Jesus where we live, work, and play is really simple. If you can just like and subscribe to this channel, and if you find this message helpful, just share it with someone. You can help us accomplish our mission. Now, I want to tell you something pretty cool that we have coming up next week, and I'm really, really excited about it. And it is D'Angelo Verse. Next week, my friend D'Angelo is coming, and he's going to speak with us, and he's sharing a message of hope, and he's going to talk about the gratitude, the psychology of gratitude, and going to talk about it from Scripture. If you don't know him, D'Angelo is a certified leadership trainer, and he's a speaker affiliated with the John Maxwell team. He's founded a couple of businesses, the Driven Life Consulting and Breakroom Huddle, and I am thrilled to have him here to share his thoughts on gratitude. And if you want to learn more about D'Angelo before he comes with us, you can go to his website at d'angeloburse.com and you can read all about D'Angelo and what he is going to bring to us next week. Well, today, we're wrapping up our series on parables. In this series, we've kind of been going through the book of Luke, looking at some of the parables that Jesus used to teach us who God is and what God is like. What is it like to live in his kingdom? Now, today's parable teaches a little bit on Jesus' perspective on money. And I know some people, whenever money is talked about in church, you're probably thinking right now, like, oh no, it's just horrible. But listen, I want to just encourage you. And honestly, you shouldn't be weirded out on the subject of money because Jesus talked a whole lot about money. And I know a lot of us kind of want to have subcategories of our life, right? We want to have a financial category, and then you want to have a spiritual category in life, and you would kind of like to keep both of those categories completely separate. The problem with that is, Jesus was real clear on this, money is a spiritual issue. So you can't really separate your spiritual life from your financial life. Those two things kind of go together. And Jesus really, you've heard me say this before, had a lot to say about money. Now that shouldn't scare you, and it really shouldn't even make you feel uneasy. I think a lot of people, when they think about money in church, they're like, oh, well, grab your wallet. I mean, they're coming after you. But what's interesting is, if you follow biblical principles, if you follow biblical principles with your money, hear me on this, you will never go upside down, ever. Now, I'm not preaching that if you follow biblical principles, you're going to get filthy rich. I mean, maybe you do. I know some people who follow biblical principles with their money, and they've gotten incredibly wealthy, and they've given an incredible amount of money away. But for the most part, I'm not saying that if you follow biblical principles, you're going to get rich. All I'm saying is this. In the culture that we live in the part of the world that we live in, if you follow biblical principles, you will never go upside down financially. And I think that's worth listening to. Now, I know plenty of people who have ignored biblical principles, and they are absolutely upside down and miserable and stressed out about money. So as we talk about money, I just want you to relax, right? And because if you follow these principles, if you do what Jesus taught about money, you're not going to be nearly as stressed out about money as many of you are right now. So let's just relax and listen to what Jesus has to say about generosity and how we can begin to maybe look at our money a little bit different, because what we're going to look at today is truly transformational teaching. So in Luke chapter 16, Jesus, kind of being a brilliant storyteller, starts with this story, and he says this. There was a certain rich man who had a manager handling his affairs. Okay, so he's got a money manager. And one day a report came that his manager was wasting his employer's money. So the employer called him in and said, "What is it I hear about you? Get your report in order because you are going to be fired." And the manager thought to himself, "Well, now what? My boss has fired me. I don't have the strength to dig ditches, and I'm too proud to beg." So what's this manager thinking, right? He's thinking, well, what am I going to do? I've got a limited amount of time because I'm about to get fired, and I've got limited opportunities. So limited time and limited opportunity, and I've got to make sure that I'm taken care of in the future because I don't have a whole lot of options. Limited time, limited opportunity. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Verse 4, let's pick up. Ah, I know how to ensure that I'll have plenty of friends who will give me a home when I'm fired. So he invited each person who owed money to his employer to come and discuss the situation. He asked the first one, how much do you owe? And the man replied, well, I owe him 800 gallons of olive oil. So the manager told him, take the bill, quickly change it to 400 gallons. And how much do you owe my employer? He asked the next man. Well, I owe him 1,000 bushels of wheat, was the reply. Here, the manager said, take the bill and change it to 800 bushels. So he kind of just goes down the list. Now he's going down the client list and starts cutting everybody a deal. Everybody gets a deal. And everybody's like, wow, oh my gosh, you're awesome. You're the best. We love you. Hey, if we can ever do anything for you, just ask. And I'm sure he's thinking, hey, I'm probably going to ask tomorrow because I'm not going to have a job, right? And so everybody who's listening to this story, Jesus' audience, if they're listening, they're thinking, well, we know where this story's going. I mean, Jesus is about to lay it on this guy. You can't do this kind of stuff. I mean, he's cutting deals with his boss's money. That's a no-no. But because Jesus is such a brilliant teacher, he's going to take this in a different direction that no one is expecting. So, verse 8, the master comes in. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. Basically, he's saying, man, I can't believe you just did that, but it was brilliant. You took what little bit of time you had, and you took what little bit of opportunity that you still had left, and you did some wheeling and dealing, and you made your future a little more secure. What can I say to that? Hey, way to go. You're one shrewd dude, and you were innovative. You acted quickly. It's amazing. Now, at this point, everybody listening to Jesus is extremely confused because, hey, this doesn't sound right. And Jesus, being a good teacher, knows everybody is confused because the story didn't go the way they were supposed to go, you know, and he did it on purpose. So now he breaks out of the parable, and he's going to talk to the audience directly. And this is kind of his way of saying, okay, I'm losing you. Stay with me. So continuing in verse 8, he says this, for the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than the people of the light. In other words, what Jesus is saying here, he's saying, hey, listen. People who don't even believe in heaven, people who don't believe in eternity, people who don't believe in God, they are more shrewd. They are more innovative. They are more creative. They are more strategic than people of the light, than people who do believe in God, people who believe in eternity. And it goes on in verse 9. This is Jesus talking. He says, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it's gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Now, I'll tell you, there's a really good reason that this parable isn't taught very often, and it's because it can be a little bit really confusing. So let me just tell you up front that there are parts of it that I don't have a clue what it means. So I want to stick to what is crystal clear. I want to look at what's crystal clear that Jesus is saying in this parable. And the bottom line of what Jesus is saying up to this point in this parable is this. Number one, you have a limited amount of time, right? You have a limited amount of time. The Bible is clear about this. Your days are numbered. And we don't tend to think about it that much. At least I don't think about it that much. But you know what? We have been given a limited amount of time. And there's been enough events in my life lately in 22, maybe in yours as well, that reminds me that time is ticking, that time is limited for all of us. You might have 30 minutes, you might have 30 years, but for all of us, our days are numbered. So you have limited amount of time. The other thing that this thing teaches us is that you have a limited amount of opportunity. You have a limited amount of time, and you have a limited amount of opportunity. In this case, let's say that you have a limited amount of money. And what Jesus is saying is that we should be innovative, we should be creative, we should be strategic, purposeful, we should take our limited time and we should use that limited time and limited money to make sure we're thinking about the future. And we should be using it specifically to make friends for ourselves in heaven. And he's saying, how crazy is it that people who believe in heaven, People who believe in eternity completely waste the limited amount of time they have and the limited amount of resources they have on this earth, and they don't use it for the good of others, to make sure that they have friends one day when they're in heaven. And Jesus is saying, hey, you can take your temporary stuff on this earth and you can give it eternal value. That is what absolutely comes out of this parable. And let me give you two principles on how we can view money. And it's probably, for many of us, it's a monumental shift. Okay, principle number one is this. Make money a tool for good, not a drug for yourself. I think this is what comes out of this parable, that Jesus is teaching us here that your money, resources, your stuff, all your stuff is temporary. And all your stuff can be used as a tool for the good of others. And you've got to figure out what this looks like. Now, I've been pretty strategic in my whole life about how I look at money. And I've tried to be really smart with investing and all those kinds of things. But what is really convicting for me in this story is that Jesus is saying, are you strategic? Do you spend time thinking about how you're going to give all your money away? Do you spend time thinking about how all of this stuff that I've given you can be used as a tool? And for me, it just comes down to God telling me, hey, Clay, at the end of the day, you've got a limited amount of time. You have limited opportunity. And I'm going to give you some dollars along the way. And I just want to know, are you going to use all of those dollars on you for your own benefit? Or are you going to understand that this temporary tool can actually have eternal value? If we'll use some of it, or you can use some of it somewhere along the way for the good of other people. It's God saying, hey, how are you going to use your limited time and your limited resources? Are you going to be creative? Are you going to be innovative? Are you going to spend as much time thinking about how you can give money away as you spend time thinking about how you can make more money? Are you going to be shrewd with your time and with your resources? And let me just say, I've been blessed for the last 7 years to be part of such a generous community as Next Level Church. Just this year, we have given almost $100,000 towards various things in our community. We've made donations to Hope Match, and we have helped give away Christmas presents and back-to-school supplies for over 100 families. Right now, we're sponsoring over 50 families now for Thanksgiving meals. We made investments with the staff right across the way at Stallings Elementary by giving over 100 employees, something special each month, and currently we're working on renovating their staff room. We have continued every single month to support nearly 300 children in the Dominican Republic through Compassion International. That represents more than just 300 people. That's 300 entire families that are being lifted out of poverty because of your generosity. Our auto repair ministry, it was shut down for COVID for nearly 6 months, but we're still on pace to have helped dozens upon dozens of single moms with repairs to their cars, saving them tens of thousands of dollars. And on top of all of that, we've invested nearly $125,000 back into leading the next generation of Christ followers in a growing relationship with Jesus. And all of this has been done in the midst of a global crisis. Everything that you've given here to Next Level has been a tool to help others. And at the end of the day, we all have extra. And the more you begin to understand that some of that extra is a tool, the better off you're going to be. So again, I just want to say how blessed I've been to be a part of just a small part of this. You are some of the most generous people that I've ever met. And most of you get the generosity thing. You get that God has given you extra. And all of that extra is not meant for you. You understand that it's a tool. And so you just got to keep thinking that way. And I encourage you, just keep thinking that way. But here's principle number two, and this one's kind of a tough one. God sees your money as a test. God sees your money as a test. Not only is it a tool for good, but he sees this as a test. And here's what happens. The next three verses we're going to read, and to be honest with you, I wish we could skip these, but we can't. So let's jump down to what Jesus says in verse 10. He says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much. So if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Now, there's a couple of different things that are going on here. But at the end of the day, what's crystal clear to me about this passage is this. God says, your money is a test. And what you do with your money is a test. And it's a test that some of you are passing with flying colors, but there's also some of you that are failing miserably. But either way, at the end of the day, it's a test. Again, what God is saying is, and I'll personalize this to me, what God is saying is, Clay, I'm going to give you limited time on this earth, and I know you understand that. And I'm going to give you limited resources, and I'm going to give you some stuff. But you need to understand, it's not your stuff. It's not your money. I'm going to let you borrow it, and I just want to see what you do with it. I want to see what you're going to do with your limited time and with your limited resources. I want to see if you can take that limited amount of time that I give you, and if you can take that limited amount of resources and money and do something to bless other people instead of just doing stuff for yourself. I want to see what you'll do with it. Because what you do with your money and your resources tells me a whole lot about you. Now, listen, don't misunderstand this, because this gets manipulated into this whole thing of, well, can you earn your way into heaven? Jesus is not tying generosity to salvation here. But what he is making clear is the idea of transformation and what he's doing in my heart. If it doesn't show up in generosity, something has failed. And listen, I can talk all day about transformation. I can talk all day about spiritual maturity. But one of the telltale signs of how I'm growing in my life, how I'm growing in my heart and in my faith, is what I'm doing with my money. At the end of the day, how I use my money is a test. Now, let me just tell you why some of you are failing this test. I get it, it's not everyone, but some. It's not because you're greedy, okay? I think that what happens for a lot of people is that they just buy into this illusion that one day I'm going to be generous. And this is really easy to buy into because you're thinking, well, now isn't a really good time for me to be generous. But one day, when I'm doing better, when the economy's doing better, and I'm feeling a little more secure, that's when I'm going to be generous. So it's not because you're greedy. It really isn't. It's because you bought into this illusion that one day you're going to have enough. And whatever you have enough, that's when you're going to be generous. But the problem is, without generosity, you'll never have enough. You want some proof? Just think about how much you made this year. I just want you to think about it. Now go back to when you were 18. Would the 18-year-old you say that what you make now is plenty? Would the 18-year-old version of you be thrilled to make what you've made so far this year? I would be willing to bet that the answer for almost all of us to that question would be absolutely yes. So what changed? Well, I mean, you made more, and you got nicer stuff, right? And because of that, you want even nicer stuff. And you begin to think if you could just make a little bit more, you'd be set. And then you can be generous. But when you get there and you make that little bit more, you don't feel set. And we feel like, you know what, I just need to make a little bit more. Certainly, I am not the only person that has played this game with ourselves. When I make more, I'm still not content, and I'm still not secure, so I need more. And what happens over time is you begin to believe that somehow money, which is this temporary thing, which can be a good thing, but unfortunately becomes an ultimate thing, then becomes an idol thing, which then becomes a destructive thing. Because you expect money to give you something it was never designed to give you. No amount of money will ever make you feel secure and content. 2020 should have spelled that out for us. There's no correlation between money and peace. There's no correlation between money and contentment and security. And too many of us are looking to it to give us something it was never designed to give us. It was never designed to fill the hole in your heart. It was designed to be a tool, and a tool for good. That is what is clear in this parable. Now, as we wrap up, I just want to say, I know sometimes this idea of generosity can be really scary. But again, this is not something that we want from you. This is something we want for you. It really is about you finding freedom. I mean, when you think about God, God is a giver. By his very nature, God's a giver. And if you've been created in God's image, when you're generous, That is what brings life to you. You've seen this spell out in your life before. And way back in February, we asked each of you, hey, will you grow? And there were so many of you that stepped up and said, yeah, I will grow in my giving at Next Level. And you started off strong, and it was great, and it felt great, you know, and it felt great to stretch and to be generous. And then COVID hit, and we're not meeting in person for several months. And so maybe the idea of growing in generosity just kind of slipped to the background, and it wasn't intentional. You know, we had a lot of things that we were dealing with in our life and in our country. And if that's you, could I just kindly suggest that you would go back to what God was calling you to back in February. And you may be thinking that your generosity doesn't amount to much, but it does. It does because it matters to you, and it matters to God, because Jesus taught us that money is just a tool, and how we use it is a test. And when we all come together and we all bring our generosity to bear in one place, like Next Level, it grows and multiplies, and a lot of good happens in our community and around our world. So maybe just a practical next step for you today would be to go to nextlevelchurch.org/give and click the green give button that's there and renew that commitment that you made back in February. Or maybe you've never given before, and today is your day to step into generosity, quit delaying, and begin to make money a tool for good. And when you realize that you have limited time and limited opportunity, and you can actually use your temporary stuff for eternal value, once you get that, man, it changes everything. And you begin to live the way that God designed you to live. Hey, I just want to pray for us. Would you bow your head right where you're at? God, you're a good God. And you're a generous God. You give and you give and you give. You have blessed every single one of us in all kinds of unique ways. God, I hate to admit all the times that I have failed the test of money. So forgive me for all the times that I thought you gave it all that extra to me, just for me. God, remind all of us that it's not just for us, it's a tool. It's a tool that can be used to bless and help and do a lot of good in this world. So God, I pray for us as a church that we'll continue to pass this test, that we'll use our resources wisely, not for our own benefit, but for the benefit of other people, to continue to invest, to impact people for eternity, that we will continue to see money and resources as tools to just help other people. God, I pray that you continue to open our eyes to help us see how we can make an impact here in our community and around the world. Help us to understand it's just a tool. It's just a resource to help others. And God, we love you. I thank you. We thank you for your generosity to us. And Jesus, we pray all of these things in your name. Amen. Well, hey, friends, thanks for joining us today. Before you head out in your day, would you do me a favor? If you haven't done so already, would you like and subscribe to this channel? This helps us in a real simple way to accomplish our mission to raise the reputation of Jesus. And along those lines, let me talk to you about something else that's really important. We just kind of went through a message on giving, and you can really help us keep our church strong by heading over to our website at nextlevelchurch.org/give. Choose one of those options there. And again, know that every dollar you give makes sure that your church stays strong through this crisis and is prepared more than ever to raise the reputation of Jesus where we live, work, and play. Again, it's just a tool. It's just a resource we can use for good. Now, by way of benediction, let me read to you from Luke chapter 6, verse 38. These are the words of Jesus that he says. He says, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you." What a tremendous blessing. May you this week see your time and your money as resources that can be used for the good of others. And may you, just as your Heavenly Father is a giver, may you be a giver as well. May your generosity spill out and overflow for the good of the many others that are around you. Hey guys, thanks for being with us. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you every day on Facebook and Instagram. I just know that we're praying for you, and I love you.